The Around the NFL Podcast was overthrown by Peyton Manning.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Sorry to hear that you were overthrown by Peyton Manning.
Who green-lighted that money drop?
Who's coming up with these things?
We had a whole list of things that we approved, and I have not heard any one of those. I sent like 20 of them.
Is this all from the comedic genius mind of TD? Is that what's going on?
He always blames it on someone else back there. Oh, that's Bobby Joe's. He was only here for a week, and it was the most important thing to him to get one in there. I don't know.
Yeah, no one's seen TD in 5 days.
Do we have Carrot Top writing these? What's going on right now with these? A Gold Standard behind the glass. It's Gold Standard Friday. What's going on? Do you know?
I'm just the Manziel to the Hoyer. It's not on me.
You know,
that's
Gold
not
Standard.
That's not how you want to position yourself.
He's a genius politician, though, because he knows how to pass that buck when it comes time to do it. Yeah, so welcome to the Around the NFL Podcast. We got a full house for a great show. One I'm looking forward to, can't always say that. Personally, a lot of times I'm coming up those stairs, I'm dreading what's about to happen. Not today. Today I am amped up. We're going to, because first of all, whenever we get to dissect a Mark Sessler joint, blows my mind because I love it so much. It's like reading it twice.
Have you even clicked on this item? That
10 starters who could lose their jobs to rookies. Mark wrote about it this morning, posted it. I'm sure everyone listening now has read it. If not, click pause, read Mark's content, and then come back to us. We're going to talk about it. That's going to be great. And then we're going to open up the mailbag. We got a mailbag in the written form, written by myself, Greg.
Yeah,
that will run
Friday.
On Friday. But we're going to, of course, there's always plenty of questions from podcast listeners, so we're going to hit those up. By the way, Mark, you excited about the latest Star Wars trailer?
Chewie, we're home.
Well, we might have swung for the fences a bit too far. I'm sure we'll get sued for that song. But sure, why not? It looks
well.
Cool.
No, I'm.
Wait, did I stumble into a Damashek podcast? What's going on here?
Well, I needed to.
I know we're killing Peyton Manning off the top. We're talking Star Wars. What's happening?
Well, I know Star Wars means a lot to you, Mark, and the trailer came out. It's a special thing to you.
Well, I'm old, so it's the first movie that I saw in a theater with my dad, so it does for that reason. But yeah, also they botched the last three they attempted to make in a considerable fashion. It was a disaster. So this looks a little better.
One of our loyal listeners, and he was a contributor in the old ATL Debate Club, Jason Zumwalt, I clicked on my Facebook, and he said that he cried when he watched the trailer. So, and Greg,
wow,
you made the point there's a
Jay-Z
disconnect.
Well, yeah, Mark said I was crushing people's dreams because I pointed out that I felt disconnected to the average American populace because, you know, I could care less about the new Star Wars movie. I'm not against it, but I would say out of 10 movies that are released,
I'm closer
to
Greg on this.
It would probably be in, you know, number 5. I don't want to see it.
That's fine. I don't like it when the tact is we're too cool for it, because part of me is it's just that it was part of my childhood, and I understand that where I'm at now, maybe you could be like, this guy is a little off balance. But Zumwalt and I, we text a little bit about this behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll text with him about the developments.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have someone to reach out to. Greg is not a sounding board. The guy's like an English patient
two enthusiast. Just because I don't like
English patient two, still English.
Yeah. I love grown men, you know, running around and.
All right.
All right. Well, you already are showing. You don't understand what it's about.
You watch football and write about it for a living, which is also grown men running around in little outfits.
Yeah,
Wes nails home a very solid point.
That's a good point.
We'll be talking about some little outfits in the news, by the way, Mark. All right, speaking
of
news.
What a tease.
The Gold Standard, behind the glass, or running out of time with Zachariah.
So
in fact, you only have a couple of weeks left now.
Yeah.
Maybe even one show left with us, two shows.
Yeah, also true of Manziel, potentially.
Through the draft. I'm
he's
going through the draft.
He's here all draft week. And by the way,
our favorite millennial.
We haven't mentioned it. We're doing a few big shows during draft week, some videos on Monday, and then we'll have what's now an annual tradition, a draft after the first round on Thursday night, the only podcast that'll be up Friday morning, and then another one after it's all over on Saturday night.
Great memories last year in Manhattan, Mark and I in a hotel room at 3 a.m. recording that podcast. This year, Wes will be out in Chicago. I guess the time change will be advantageous to Wes, I would think, maybe by a little bit. But
we can push it back a little.
It will be a late night for Wes, too, for the pod. And maybe, Wes, you can, you know, maybe have a quick drink and a water, of course, before you, just to get your nerves going and get excited.
I have a built-in tour guide with Kevin Patra in Chicago.
That's right. Mm. He's going to get you in some fistfights, I can tell you that.
Nice.
That guy, if whenever there's a problem, the solution is always fisticuffs. All right, Gold Center, let's do some news.
Let's do it.
I'm in the news, sweetheart.
By the way, Team McHenry. Just going to say it right now. With the tow yard and the, you know, that sound drop.
You approve of the way she spoke to that woman?
ESPN personality Britt McHenry has been suspended a week for berating a tow company supervisor of some kind. Said some horrible things. I don't get behind that. But according to several things, it's a crooked tow yard. Or they towed her out of a restaurant parking lot when she was eating at the restaurant. I'm not all about that.
Why doesn't she take it up with the manager instead of actually berating and hitting every point about a woman that you could possibly destroy?
It was terrible, but I think the release of the video was punishment enough.
Look, if you ever find a woman who treats service people like crap, do not ever hang out with that woman. She must be the worst woman on earth.
It is a good test of character.
I think Dan's point, though, it's not so much boosting McHenry into the skies, but saying crooked tow yards.
I believe.
Let's get on that.
I believe Team McHenry is pretty much boosting her to the sky.
Well, all
that's
right.
True. And I guess as a former resident of Hoboken, New Jersey, which was a crooked town when it came to towing and tickets, like I have that in my heart. I remember what it was like to be treated poorly by those people. But it doesn't. It does. You know.
Look,
we've talked about this too long, but you know.
Yes. Look, if Boss Hogg is the crooked one, you deal with him, not the low-level representative out front at the desk.
She shouldn't have said those things. And by the way, the first story we're going to talk about here, Adrian Peterson, you would think him being reinstated effective Friday would be the biggest story in the newsroom. But right around the time this happened, this Britt McHenry thing went down. What do you think everyone was talking about?
I would like to see the football story that got the NFL Network staff as excited about this as this Britt McHenry story.
It's fair.
So anyway, while Britt McHenry's career was under fire, Adrian Peterson was getting his career back. How you like them apples? The Minnesota Vikings running back, according to the league, which announced Thursday, Peterson will be reinstated Friday as an active NFL player and may participate in all scheduled activities with the Minnesota Vikings. And according to Rap Sheet, there will be no further suspension upon reinstatement. There is, some legal stuff still going on behind the scenes. But as far as football and Adrian Peterson, everything's clear to go. After missing 15 games last year, going back to his child abuse situation. Adrian Peterson back, Greg.
No further suspension, no surprise here. And now they have 2 weeks to decide whether they can trade him or not. Unlike the Phillip Rivers conversation, which we talked about on the last show, I think the Rivers trade, if it ever happens, has to happen during the draft. If an Adrian Peterson trade happened, I think it could happen at any point in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, it depends totally on whether his camp can convince all parties involved that it's beneficial, and the Vikings are going to be the hardest one to convince.
Yeah, it seems like that he got his wish because what Ian Rappaport, NFL Media Insider, reported last week was the one thing he just wanted to get this cleared out before the draft so that this could happen at the right time. But getting the Vikings to move on a trade between now and two Thursdays from now, that is a tall order.
Well, I think it's harder really to just find the team that's willing to give him that much money and enough draft picks to get it done. It's almost more up to the Cardinals and the Cowboys, I guess, are the two teams that we could see doing this, really stepping up to the plate, saying, we'll pay you $20 million over the next 2 years, and we'll give you a second-round pick or whatever it's going to take to get him. And just being aggressive and going after him. Because otherwise, it's not like the Vikings are just going to trade him to trade him.
Vikings think he's good. I mean, if Vikings think they're good, they know Peterson is great. To me, there is no reason to trade him unless some type of godfather offer came up on the table, an Achilles Smith-type offer, Wes, involving the Saints or something. You know, something like that. Otherwise, you keep him in there, and this team, with Teddy Bridgewater progresses, they can win 10 or 11 games, in my mind. This team is pretty good, potentially, so you run with it.
Maybe the reason, Dallas or Arizona comes around, you both got aging 30-year-old quarterbacks here, and you've got big holes in the backfield. That killed Arizona in the playoffs last year. They could do nothing with the run game, and Dallas loses their number one guy. Maybe this is your Super Bowl window for these two teams.
What do you guys think happens in the end?
I think he stays home.
I've been saying all along I think he'll get traded. I'm going to stick with that.
So before the draft, during the draft sometime, he'll be traded.
I'm not putting a deadline
okay.
on.
Okay. I think he'll go through the draft, not get traded. I eventually think the Vikings will give him some money for 2016, guarantee him some money, bring him into that new stadium that they've built. Everyone's happy.
File this under surreal. Former Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez is a convicted murderer. The New England Patriots star, a former star, was convicted of first-degree murder, sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole in connection with the deadly late-night shooting of Odin Lloyd, a supposed friend who this all went down a couple of years ago. The trial now took place. After deliberations, the jury decided that Hernandez, whether or not he was the trigger guy, he was there, he was responsible. And barring an appeal, Aaron Hernandez will never get out of prison. That's it. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, he's also going to have another trial soon for a double murder charge. So he's not done with trials. And all I could think about is if I was a Patriots fan growing up and you were 16, 17 years old or something when this verdict came down, that is a moment that as a sports fan, you will never forget where you were. Maybe it didn't have that big of an impact nationally, although it certainly was a big story. To see a guy who played in the Super Bowl and was such an integral part of your team be convicted for murder, there's not much precedent for that.
This case and this situation didn't capture the zeitgeist the way the O.J. Simpson situation did. And that's, I remember I was 14 when that went down, and I remember listening to WFAN in New York when they first – the news broke that there was the double murder, and then all of a sudden it kind of spun into this Greek tragedy. That to me is the thing when I always think of, like, the most shocking sports moment is when that went next level, with the white Bronco chase and everything. I mean, so Aaron Hernandez, to me, never had that type of grip on the world or this country, but at the same time, it's just absolutely, I said it before, surreal that this guy who was one of the top tight ends in football, who was a stud that just signed a $40 million contract, was killed a guy, and now it's over. Now he's in prison for the rest of his life. It's a big waste. It's terrible. It's a really sad story.
I think it's weird that if this were the final scene in a movie about this scenario, that he's in jail and you can hear the sounds of Foxborough in the stadium in the distance from where he's stationed, that would seem like a cheesy closeout to a movie because it's almost too unbelievable to grasp.
A mile and a half away and from what I understand, you basically drive past it on the highway. You know, you're going. I mean, it's insane.
He threw away a career with a Hall of Fame ceiling.
Yes.
And a chance at multiple Super Bowl rings.
Crazy. In other news, that's a tough one to transition from, but in other news, Oregon offensive coordinator Scott Frost has been asked a lot about Marcus Mariota as people try to figure out what the ceiling is of the quarterback who is expected to go pretty high in the first round and the draft at the end of this month. Frost has also said a lot of the questions he's gotten are pretty stupid. Here's his quote. Some of them were great questions, and some of them were some of the dumbest questions I've ever heard, he told OregonLive.com. Is it Oregon or Oregon? Or something in between?
Oregon. I don't know, but I don't know if that's right.
I think it's an individual case.
Okay. I think it's ridiculous to think Marcus is too nice to play football. If that was the case, he wouldn't have won so many games around here. I agree, by the way. I was at the Combine, and, like, one of the popular talking points was, like, look how he carries himself. I don't think that guy's he doesn't look like a star NFL quarterback to me. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything, how he walks around or how his shoulders or how he carries himself. Enough of that. I'm sorry, TD, who's not here, but this body language stuff, people got to calm down about.
That's a legit question that it's not just the media. When I listen to DJ's podcast, Move the Sticks, on his Mariota 360, I know Hansis isn't a fan of it. You know, he said that was one of the number one concerns with Mariota. Is he a leader? That teams aren't sure about that. And Sessler and Dan and I, actually, we were texting about it. You had some hot takes this weekend unprompted about it.
Well, number one, we haven't been studying these players at all for the most part. So, yeah, okay. But so I don't have a hot take. I mean, I watched, Saturday, very sober, slow, hot take. I watched his stuff with Gruden,
right?
Which I think, it's a 20-minute segment parceled out and edited. So it's very much how they want to make it. I get that. But looking at him and looking at Winston, Winston to me seemed the way he came across in this short thing and the way Gruden responded to him and what he said later was just that he's like a football lifer. Like, he just is all about football and super intense. Mariota did not give off that vibe, but that's a 20-minute little program, so
I'm not making a conclusion.
But
that's what everyone says about Mariota.
Right.
I don't know anything. When you watch them on NFL Network with Winston, too, I mean, he's flatline. He makes Joe Flacco look like
they're
the life
also
of the
young though. Like, who would this guy be 3 years from now when he's in the NFL? Right. We don't know that.
Well, yeah, and two words: Joe Flacco. Two more words: Eli Manning. You don't have to be some wildly charismatic guy like Jameis Winston supposedly is to be a successful NFL quarterback. You just got to be able to play.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got it. Reminds me a little bit of David Robinson from the Spurs. Too nice. Way too nice.
Right.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Here's how you lead. If you're good at football, you lead. So even though I agree with you, Mark, that he does seem very flatline, does that really matter?
I mean, that was the same criticism of Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Who's had a pretty – I mean, if Mariota's career ends up like Palmer's, I consider that a success.
And if we want to study these Gruden segments or these Mariucci segments, and not to take away from your point, Mark, but if we went back and looked at, I don't know, Jake Locker's segment or Blaine Gabbert's segment, and they probably came off tremendously well and well-mannered and charismatic and knew all the chalkboard plays. Like, you know, but what does it actually mean come August and then September?
Well, if teams got any better at predicting quarterbacks over the last 10, 15 years, well, we wouldn't have been seeing them whiff over and over on these guys. So I don't think they know anything.
The thing is, the players, to a certain degree, and the coaches do believe it matters, even if we don't. So it's weird to totally dismiss that. I've heard Steve Young talk about it, that the most important thing that you need to do as a quarterback is look the other men in the huddle and have their confidence. And that's the number one thing a quarterback – I don't know how you define that. I don't know how you get that exactly. Maybe Marcus Mariota can do that, even though he's not too talkative.
Moving on, big day for the Cleveland Browns on Tuesday, where they unveiled their new uniforms after. What is that?
Wow! This crowd is so thrilled with what they are looking at right now.
The Browns have unveiled their new uniforms after months of speculation and hype, and Mark Sessler going through fan sites and, you know, writing up little blog posts, all excited. They unveiled them.
Never have I done that.
They were unveiled in a really kind of an over-the-top type thing at a convention center that was actually had an in-house feed run by the ClevelandBrowns.com site with two hosts, including that nice woman who we just heard. The bottom line was that it was, a bunch of little changes or significant changes. There's a lot of different combos, but why am I talking? Mark, your thoughts about the new Browns uniforms?
Well, you know, I'm very glad I was not in the newsroom when this was happening because – I'm out to dinner. I'm trying to go out to dinner with my wife. Very rare event when you have kids. Mm. We're going to go see a movie, and my Twitter is lighting up with just hot takes on how terrible this organization is and what it looked like an Illuminati ceremony and what a devastating flop it was. I looked at him. Look, number one, you got a tough palette of colors to work with out of the gate. Are they Tampa Bay Bucks bad? Hell no. I mean, they're fine for me. They're fine. I don't love them, but I didn't expect to love them. They have 9 combinations. Some of those combinations should not make it to the field, and I don't think they will.
A really vivid, powerful assortment of uniforms.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not that broadcaster. She's that maybe wasn't the best person to assign.
They were handing her $20 bills after each compliment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did I catch a glimpse of Cleveland down the side of the pants?
Oh,
famously, that's not even accurate. There's Browns down the side. And
Cleveland on the front.
My only take is the Cleveland across the front, that's okay. I can deal with that. The Browns down the side kind of feels pajamas-y to me or like arena football-y. Didn't love that. But it's not like they desecrated their look or anything.
Gold standard
it's
has
so,
a hot take.
Well, no, it's just so good that she didn't say, am I seeing a little bit of Browns going down the side of the pants?
Fair. I liked them. I do. I just was wondering – why, Mark, it really seemed to matter to you what the react. You were very fearful of the reaction to the uniform.
I don't think I was fearful. I was a little anticipating, and I was correct, that there would be a bunch.
A lot of people liked them, though.
Yeah, but there's the flood of hot takes about how much of a disaster the Browns are, and enough is enough.
You know what? And, Mark, I know where you're coming from on this because – back at, like post Tebow, post butt fumble, Rex Ryan Jets, the Jets, if you're a fan, you went into fan prison. And it became a point where not only did it suck the team wasn't good, it was just fun for people to just bury your team no matter what they were doing.
Right.
And you're kind of – you're in that place now after several Browns missteps.
Certainly.
In the last few months.
That is accurate.
They've become fun to make fun of. But by the way, just so you might get excited about this, you might have missed this during the telecast because you were in the theater. There's also the uniforms might give them an advantage this season.
A lot of features in these that make them very breathable, which is good for players to wear. You know, maybe September, October in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They have to take a trip out to San Diego at some point. So, again, very cool uniforms, very player-friendly. And you can tell the input that they put into these is top-notch, done exclusively for the Cleveland Browns.
I would think it would be for the Browns.
I think what I'm discussing is unfolding right here on this podcast.
Player-friendly.
I mean, I think it would be done exclusively.
If I had known, had I done my AFC North roster reset a week ago,
well,
should have waited till after this information was, you know, unpacked.
Dan
and I were having a delightful time watching this unveiling, and I was thinking you were right that you were happy to not be in the room. It was really just the eyes wide shut hoods that they were wearing, and then they all threw them off at the same time. That was really the one.
Then Gabriel couldn't get it off his helmet, so he
Taylor
was the
Gabriel.
Only one.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not defending that. I just think it's
pre-interview where Brian Hartline was in a burka covering up the uniform so that they couldn't see it. So he was just indoors, like wearing this like big blanket.
You know how?
Well,
like,
and they had already been released.
Not at that point.
They had a pregame show.
You know how, like, every once in a while on the web, like, some, like, video will pop up from the early 90s, and then everyone writes, but look how cheesy this is. 20 years from now, yes. This will be one that will
that
be
is
written
fair.
About. All right, so that's what's happening. Nothing personal, Mark. You know that. I feel your pain as a Browns fan. Maybe not quite as much, but I get it.
The uniforms.
Well, I'm learning with every passing day to detach myself further from the entire operation.
Wes nodding his head.
Yeah.
Yes, do
side.
It. All right, so speaking of Mark, let's talk about his great feature, 10 starters who could lose their jobs to rookies. And we just talked about the Browns, and we just talked about the Jets, and right at the top of Mark's list, he has Geno Smith as the number one guy who is primed to lose his starting gig, and behind him, the Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel combo in Cleveland. So I guess this ties back to the guy we were talking about earlier, I would guess, Mark, Marcus Mariota.
I mean, I think both teams have been talked about as potential move-up targets, and I'm basing it on the fact that Cleveland over and over is a potential swing for the fences. Now, if the Chargers want to come up and do that, that's not going to be easy to do. But the Jets also, they talked about the Jets as a team that they want to add – Todd Bowles said that we want to add another quarterback. So how's that going to happen if you don't draft someone?
I like it. I can see it. It's happening.
Wes, your thoughts?
Sure. I agree. I mean, what more do you want to say? Yeah, Geno Smith could lose his job if they draft a quarterback. I agree.
All right, well, then let's move on to number three on this list. Denard Robinson and Toby Gerhart in Jacksonville. The Jags, they went hard after DeMarco Murray, so it would not be surprising if they made a push in a draft class that's loaded with running backs.
To me, they are the two and three. They are the number two and three backs already for that team, so they just need to find the starter. If they somehow don't find the starter, I don't know. They shouldn't. They're not going to be getting – you know, I don't think Robinson is going to get 20 carries a game regardless.
I mean, Gerhart sounds like he's becoming – a fullback that by the time the season starts might not even be anything more than a special teamer the way his trajectory is going.
If you believe the Tennessean, there's no way Zach Mettenberger, number four on Mark's list, is going to lose his job. They see him, according to the Tennessean, as a poor man's Tom Brady, the Titans do. But still, they have the number two overall pick. We were just on our previous program talking about the Kevin Acey article in UT San Diego about Philip Rivers. The time is now to trade him, which you wonder if there was something to read into that story. And it makes too much sense for Rivers to go to Tennessee. And, Greg, what do you think about that?
I can't get out the opinion that Greg Cosell would rather have Zach Mettenberger than Jameis Winston.
Wes, this rubbed you the wrong way, didn't it?
I mean, it's
NFL film's guru. It's ridiculous?
It's ridiculous.
But we don't know anything about Winston. Maybe Winston isn't a great prospect for all we know.
I've seen enough out of Mettenberger to think it's ridiculous, and okay. I think that if he's the quarterback next year, Ken Wisenhunt loses his job. Rustin Webster loses his job, too.
That's part of the thing I don't get, and though I don't kind of buy it.
I don't buy anything anybody's saying about Zach Mettenberger right now.
I agree with that.
I mean, I buy that Cosell believes he's better than Winston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I buy that he believes that.
But I don't get it because you're right. If they don't make a move, you could see them getting cleaned out. But if they do get Mariota or Rivers, you're locked into the Wisenhunt experience for a few years.
If Mettenberger's their quarterback next year, they won't win more than four games.
I wonder if Tennessee, which has always sounded open to shopping the number two pick in some fashion, is doing their pre-draft PR about how much they like this guy in case they're stuck with him after the draft.
Yeah.
All right, number five. This one, to me, it might not be sexy enough, but I would have put it at number one. Brandon Oliver in San Diego. I know he had some moments last year, but it seems to me after they let Ryan Matthews go that they are going to go hard after one of these running backs. The Chargers seem primed for that. It would make a lot of sense. So, Mark, you see at number 17, Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon being two top priorities for them potentially?
Well, I feel like along with Arizona, they're a team that feels the Cowboys very ready to draft a running back in the first round if they must.
Their backfield isn't that bad, though. If they liked a different position in the first round, it's like you could take a second, third-round guy and then have some sort of Oliver Woodhead, you know, third-round pick.
Donald Brown.
Combination. It's not too bad.
If you look at the stats, because I remember writing a Chargers thing earlier in the offseason, how much they leaned on Phillip Rivers and how unsuccessful they were running the ball and moving the ball on the ground. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that. If Rivers is still there, you can't do that because he's going to be 34. If you bring in a new guy, if you bring in Marcus Mariota, you definitely can't do that. So
it's one thing to rely on an undersized guy like Oliver for a 3 or 4 game patch during the season. It's another thing to go into the season with him as your starter.
Yeah.
Plus Brandon, spelled with an E-N at the end.
Questionable.
I don't know if I can trust that. 6, 7, and 8 on this list. Jermaine Kearse for the Seahawks. Don't let any of the Seahawks wide receivers see this article. They'll be very upset with you because they think they're awesome. LeGarrette Blount in New England. I didn't even realize he's their number one. Is he?
I think he is right now.
Oh, yeah, he's their number one.
I guess so, he is. And then Andre Ellington in Arizona this time last year. A lot of people are excited about Andre Ellington, I think this room as well. But now we're kind of seeing that this guy is not a workhorse back or a guy you can expect to give the ball a ton to. So you got to get somebody else in there, maybe Adrian Peterson. But that wouldn't be a rookie, so he shouldn't be on this list then.
I think this
don't worry about it.
I think this podcast said exactly that last year, that he wouldn't hold up for a season. You can't make him your workhorse.
When you say this podcast, are you saying Chris Wesley?
No, I'm saying a few of us on here said that.
Down in the chilly Netherworld studio where we were encamped for 2 months, I remember Wesley saying exactly that.
Wow, Wesley backing off some of his hubris from an episode ago when he challenged the entire universe to come up with someone that's predicted the Raiders' demise better than
him. I'm not backing off that one bit. Find someone who's been more accurate on Raiders analysis.
Ken Becker. He lives in Cleveland, actually. Hates the Raiders.
This list is reminding me how many teams need starting running backs. So we say how, you know, devalued the running back position is, but there's 6, 7 teams that need a running back out of this class. And, you know, by all accounts, this is the right class for it. Very deep at running back.
Chewy, we're home. Number 9, Dwayne Bowe.
All right, you know what?
And Brian Hartline, the Browns wide receivers, both signed. This would be quite a bummer for these two guys. They just got to town. They're going to lose their jobs because Mark thinks it's possible the Browns get one of these big shot rookies. And ba-ba booey, Brian Hartline all of a sudden is not a starter anymore.
You have two number ones, and I get this vibe from last year that Ray Farmer isn't big on drafting wide receivers. Well, you simply cannot ignore that. Cleveland might have the worst group of wide receivers in the conference right now, if not the league.
Wow. Do they? Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
They got to be down there. I guess they got to be down there. There's not many that are worse.
They signed a player away from the L.A. Greybeards.
They have no tight end to throw to, so it's the whole group is a mess.
And they have no one that you can get excited about 2 years from now. So.
You don't like Hauser.
I like him all right.
I kind of like that signing.
He's not Jordan Cameron.
No, he's not.
I like Baby Hawk.
Sure, but again, these guys are all – it's like the Jets before they got Brandon Marshall. They're all shoved one or two spots ahead of where they should, and that equals 6 wins.
Excellent analogy, Mark Sessler.
Mark, awesome job. Number 10,
Mark's
Justin.
The best.
What is happening
Mark
in this
is
episode?
The greatest.
This episode is and outraged.
Why? Why do you say that?
I don't know.
Because of the Star Wars stuff? Or the uniform, too?
Yeah, I mean, just an onslaught of...
it's like, I really meant that was excellent. The comparison to the Jets,
well,
I think you're
you.
Right.
I
think Chris was being condescending, actually.
I don't know.
Now that's an outrage.
Actually, this might seem like we're teasing you, but this is almost like a love fest for you. It's almost like a roast on some level.
I can roll with that.
Yeah.
How many more minutes?
Or an intervention.
Number 10, Justin Forsett, the Ravens running back, really came out of nowhere, one of the pleasant surprises of the 2014 season. But however, Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback, one of Wes's favorites, believes that more outrage. Melvin Gordon will, quote, not get past the Ravens at 26. So, Mark, after Justin Forsett has that great season, they're already looking to stick him back in the depth chart.
Well, I'll let the boss explain this one. This was your pick.
Well, my suggestion. You know, your name's at the top.
Wow,
of this
smells
column.
Like plagiarism.
Wow, throwing each other under the bus.
No. I don't disagree, but I put it at the bottom because I don't think it's a likely one. But they've talked about potentially drafting a running back.
So you not only disagree with me, you disagree with MMQB's Peter King.
And yourself.
I see it as the least likely of these possibilities.
Forsett, I think a guy, you looked at what they're paying him. Follow the money. They're paying him like a backup. They're not paying him like a
starter. He's one of your favorite players in the NFL.
I love Justin Forsett, but I think the Ravens are going to look for a running back of the future. Yes. And this is a good class for it.
That would be smart.
That's it.
Great. And that's it. So that was Mark's feature. Make sure you check it out at aroundthenfl.com/ Mark's latest feature. the URL.
Not a website.
But it is on NFL.com. You could read it. All right, let's hit the mailbag. Tons of good stuff. You guys always send great questions to us, so we got to get through a bunch of these. Where do we want to start?
And the other three of us have not seen these questions.
No, for the most part. I think I might have run a couple of them by, but for the most part, this is all you guys are flying blind here. We'll start with something football nerdy, okay? This is from Steve Mansfield at SF Mans. If you could add a completely new rule or completely abolish an existing one, which would it be? Start with you, Chris Wessling.
That one's easy.
Okay.
Get rid of the worst rule in sports, that stupid catch rule that nobody understands.
But what would you? So
yeah,
what would it be?
You have to replace it with something.
If you catch the ball, it's a catch. It's easy. I mean, stop with this. You got to make 18 plays after the catch, and whether you tumble to the ground nonsense. If you catch the ball, it's a catch. That's what it.
I'm with you on that.
Logically, that has to be number one. I like all this extra point jive, all this nonsense. Everyone coming up with 65-yard extra points. What you do is you put the end zone, the goalposts, on a high-speed pivot. And when you line up from the extra point at the normal location, it is spinning
at a
super high speed. So you have a chance to get it through, but it could easily hit a solid and bounce away.
I love this idea. I've heard of it.
That's amazing. You came up with that right off the top of your head. I can't even follow that.
End of conversation.
Mark took mine, so.
Yeah. I like with the extra points, just make them go for two. Let's get rid of as much kicking as possible. Just make them go for two. I've been honking about those cameras on the goal line, so it's not a very exciting one, but let's get that.
Excellent use of honking.
More notably, Bill Belichick has brought that up as well.
I would definitely take a closer look or redo the rule involving late hits on quarterbacks and wide receivers, because that drives me crazy on a weekly basis.
Dan is the guy at the bar who's like, oh, let him play football, guys. It's like, what happened to football? They're out there playing powder puff.
They should be breaking each other's skulls, if you ask me.
This is what happens when you give every kid a trophy.
Dan hasn't watched a football game in a bar in 4 years.
Yeah. Oh, that used to be so fun.
You know what I mean.
All right, moving on. What team? This is according – ooh, great name. We got a great name alert. Sebastian Seneca. Hi, I'm Sebastian Seneca. You want to go to the movies? At Sebastian Seneca, what team? He's single, ladies.
Sebastian will be missing an opportunity if he doesn't record that from Dan.
Sebby.
And make that his answering machine message.
That's true.
People have answering machines?
Well, maybe. Well, you don't. We called your cell phone like twice on the show last week and not set up.
Not by accident.
All right, here's from Sebastian. What team is most likely to go from worst to first in the division? And let's take a look at the NFL standings from 2014, just as a refresher for me. Here are your choices. The Jets, the Browns, the Titans, the Titans, Raiders, Redskins, Bears, Bucks, and Rams.
This is a particularly depressing
it's a rough list.
Exercise. I usually would think it'd be easier to come
this
up with.
This is an easy one for me.
Okay, what is it?
The Jets.
Yeah.
They're the best team.
Ow!
They're the best team out of all of those. And you could say the Rams, but I just got them.
They were outscored by 118 points last year.
They stunk last
and they,
year. New year.
Two
baby.
Of our writers picked them as the best offseason so far.
The Jets.
The Rams, you could pick them, but I just got done watching every target thrown to Jordan Matthews last year, and the difference in ball placement between Mark Sanchez and Nick Foles was startling. Sanchez leaps and bounds better than Nick
that's
Foles.
That's startling indeed. And, Mark, that sets you up well for the one you had planned.
I did have St. Louis, and, well, no, but with
a caveat
that it only happens because something absolutely disastrous happens very early in the year in Seattle. That's
what?
The only
that's
way
cheating.
That team is
you
winning
can't
that
do
division.
That.
Well, no, I mean, there are many factors.
What? Like what?
Like an absolute centerpiece player
okay,
on
so
offense
not,
is gone.
Not Seattle breaking off into the ocean. Or
yeah, that doesn't
like
count.
That
but you can't
city.
Like it's like me saying the Jets are in if Boston gets so Boston strong they get roided out and they get caught
it,
or something.
It makes sense. Well,
what if Brady gets traded to the Browns?
Yeah,
I disagree.
Just as impossible is for me to see the Patriots fall off a cliff.
Wait, but you got to pick a team without any crazy circumstance.
I think the Rams are the best last place team. I don't think it's a crazy thought at all. You need the Seahawks to fall off, but I think they're a better team. I think the Browns are better than the Jets. But my answer is going to be the Washington Redskins, even though I don't really imagine it happening. I just think that's the lame enough division, and I could just see they go 9-7, 10-6, win a bad division. Redskins would be my answer.
Wow, that is wild.
I predicted in my own head that you would go for the Redskins for exactly that reason.
Yeah. Well, it's a good – it's in, logical.
And in my heart of hearts, I want to go with the Jets. It's really if you want to read between the lines, that's who I'm picking. But I'll go with someone else, though.
just pick it.
Yeah,
just
no, I don't want to do it, though.
I thought about the Jets,
I don't
want to
bank
they
on
already got
them
covered.
Wes already covered them anyway, so I'm happy about that. I'm going to go with the Bucks. The NFC South stinks, and I know the Bucks stink too. But, you know, you get James – listen to my thought process, Wes.
What an awful team they are.
Jameis Winston comes to town, and he's the real deal. You know, things weirder things have happened, and I don't think you're going to need more than 9 wins to win that division again, potentially. Mm. So I'm going to go with the Bucks. Why not?
Good thing this has been recorded.
Here's why not.
Did you pick one yet?
Cam Newton,
yeah,
Matt
St.
Ryan,
Lewis.
And Drew Brees are in that division. That's why not. That's not that. I think the NFC saw the bounce back. It's just how it goes. Things go up and down.
This from Cathal McCabe at – Cathal 41. Two men enter, one man leaves. No weapons. J.J. Watt versus The Rock. Who wins? Cathal, just so you know, says J.J. I say J.J. My fiance says The Rock. What say you? Drops a Damashek line on us.
Well, I don't think this is close. I'm giving it to J.J. Watt. The Rock is an entertainer who's in his 40s. He's not even – I mean, I know he's athletic, but it's a little different.
He's very
yeah, – I mean, Watt is working out like Rocky in Rocky IV right now. I don't know if Rock's doing the same, but
Rock
I agree with Greg. He's
42 years old, I just –
tremendous age yeah. edge, and he's in the prime. He's in excellent physical condition. I got to go with Watt.
I have to go Watt, too. If you talk about them both in their prime, interesting battle. It's not like The Rock is some sort of weakling that got shuffled out of an accounting office, but we got to go Watt.
I'm going to go with The Rock, and I'll tell you why. I know wrestling's not real, but the agility that he has and his ability to be quick on his feet and enact different type of moves in the ring, I think his ability as someone that knows his way around
who's got the
grappling
here's the key
would take him over the top.
Watt's not going to allow – I mean, Watt's not going to be in on it. Rock's going right. to say, hey, I'm going to do this move to you. And Watt's going to go, no.
Right.
How about you don't?
Wait, how about the movie that The Rock made where he was like the dad and it involved the Patriots in some way? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, that's so why J.J. Watt will win.
That's why J.J. Watt. Yes. I'm just saying, anyone that makes that movie is not going to win a bare-knuckle brawl with J.J. Watt.
I think The Rock is physically stronger as well.
You what about the
guy,
tennis?
What a body.
What about the tennis gal pal Watts picked up? Is she softening him some?
Potentially.
Wow.
I like you're on top of things.
This is from our good friend Jim Lorigan at Jim Lorigan. Can we have a game where the winner gets a Hans's pie? That's really from my wife and mother-in-law. And gets to garage drink with Chris Wessling. Now, I want to win this game. Got to get in that garage at Tybee.
You know, there's only a few people I would not allow to garage drink with me, so yeah.
Name them.
I can't do that.
How about you and Britt McHenry?
I was going to say, you know,
have issues with Britt McHenry.
We have a winner. Mark Sessler's won this game in the game of life. I mean, you've hung out with Wes and had many a drink, had some.
Not in the garage,
I don't know if you've had any of the Hansis pies.
Probably had some of the pie, too.
You could.
I've had Hansis pie and drank in a garage.
Right. We need to get into that specific garage, though, on Tybee Island.
We can make this happen.
I think the answer is no or yes.
I don't know. No, probably not.
We can make it happen. I will return to Tybee again next year or the year after, and if you want to meet me there.
All right. 2 years from now, when Wes goes back to Tybee.
Unless you're a Raiders fan, because I'm afraid you'll try to kill me.
I'll send a pie to Tybee also, and if you fly your own airfare to Tybee, Wes might put you up.
It's coming together.
Give this like a 13% chance of happening.
This is from Neil Dutton, one of our favorites, at Neil Dutton.
He actually likes stale bread.
He does like stale bread. At NDutton13, what sport other than football would you guys most like to sit around together? It's an important word there. Hmm. Together, watching with a beer or two.
Other than football. 15.
I think the thing that we might be able to all agree on, maybe the NBA Finals.
I would say the NBA.
Yeah, I could watch that.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets to the point where there's eight minutes left. I will
throw one out there, too, in the honor of the gold standard, a U.S. World Cup match.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, we've done that.
That would be better.
That
would be number one.
We've done that.
That's number one.
Are you proud of me, Zach?
So proud. Thank you, guys.
Wes and I, we watched a female or women's UFC fight, and we had a good time.
The Ronda Rousey one, it was over in like 8 seconds.
That sounds horrendous.
We did watch the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, the four at the garage.
At the garage.
Yeah.
So there you go.
A local brewery.
We gave you a definitive answer there, okay? This from William Holcomb. Wes, this one's toward you.
Kelly's son.
At Billy the Wrench. Ooh, he sounds like an enforcer. Looks like one, too. Why is the media so down on the Raiders every season, but always seems to be hopeful for teams like the Jags, Titans, etc.?
What do you want from me? The Raiders are awful and they run a bad operation. None of their moves make sense and they have no plan. The Jaguars have a plan. The Raiders don't. I mean, what is the Raiders' plan? Sign a bunch of veterans and hope their draft picks work out? I don't know. And nothing they do makes sense to me. And they couldn't have been watching film to trade for Matt Schaub.
I would challenge the notion we're overly positive on some of the bottom feeders like the Jags and the Titans.
Were the Titans on that list? We bury them.
Yeah. And here's why, to answer the question. Here are the win totals from the Raiders since 2003. 4-5, 4-2, 4-5-5, 8-8, 4-4-3.
Yeah, Billy the Wrench. Answer me this question.
Be careful, by the way, what you say to Billy the Wrench.
Why do Raiders fans knee-jerk defend everything that their front office does and they haven't made any good moves in the last 10 years?
Yeah, that's what I'd say. I think, if anything, I'd like to see the Raiders. The NFL's a better place when the Raiders are kind of a rough-and-tumble good team.
I absolutely agree with that. I love their franchise. I love their history. They just run a bad operation.
I mean, so we're sort of sticking up for the fans, if anything, by saying, come on, get it together.
Exactly.
Right.
Mark Sessler nails it again.
Condescending.
I thought Mike Silver, who's a big Hugh Jackson fan, was, you know, kind of overreacting when he said
he's a big Hugh Jackson fan.
Hugh Jackson
oh.
fan.
Okay.
Was a little overreacting when he went crazy when they fired Hugh Jackson, saying what a terrible decision it was for the franchise and everything. But looking back, I mean, they won 8 games really because of Hugh Jackson 2 straight years. That was a ridiculously terrible move.
I like Mark's act. We are advocates for Raiders fans. They just won't accept our advocacy.
That's what you need to stress to them, Wes, next time they come after you on Twitter.
No, they don't come after me anymore. They don't exist on my Twitter feed.
You blocked every Raiders
fan. Like all of them but Damian Pittman and 2 other guys.
This is from Steve Booth, at Steve Booth 87. Probably means he was born in 1987.
That's possible.
Unless it was
or he's 87 years old and he changes his Twitter
or
account
that was
every year.
His graduation year.
First kiss?
Any chance the ATN, he calls us the ATN, would pick the 49ers as the team of ATN, been knocked down a few rungs, unfortunate situation, hashtag intrigue. How about that, fellas? The Niners coming off just a hellacious offseason, tons of losses with a likable coach who's in a tough spot. Good quarterback with upside if he puts it together. Could they get a little frisky with everyone picking them to stank?
Well, I don't sit in the closed-minded corner, so I'm open.
Oh!
I'm open. I'm open to the possibility.
I figured that the contrarian corner over here would be way open
to
that.
No, I was just saying I'm open to it. It would be a very surprising corner.
The contrarian corner loves to do what people want.
I'm the buffer between the two worlds, and sometimes it gets hot.
They aren't in the first wave of teams that I'd remove.
No, it would be a surprise, but I wouldn't totally rule it out, if only because they have Tom Sula, which to me is overall – I'd be along for that ride
if
it gets fun.
There's some comedy potential there.
It's interesting.
Kaepernick is a fun guy to watch. Yeah,
we'll see.
Got a chance.
This is from Nick Boyd at NickyB720. I know 420, that reference. 720, is that like a higher level?
You do other things at 720.
Okay. All right, there's a little typo in here, Nicky. Come on, buddy. When do you come to London? Fancy going for some fish and chips and a pint. When do you come to London, fancy doing some fish and chips in the pint?
Oh, is that a good accent,
no.
Zach?
That's perfect. That's exactly what they sound
when
like.
When do you come to London, fancy doing some fish and chips in a pint?
What are you from? You're from, like, East Liverpool now.
I like that you do fish and chips, too.
Yeah. Anyway, so let me just say one thing here. We have high hopes that we're all going to London, but it might – I'm not saying it's going to happen. It could be – it could be an uphill battle here. Greg, you hinted at it. We're getting some people that are in offices that are telling us, you know, it's a pipe dream.
Shadowy league figures.
People have not said it's a pipe dream.
Well, you're dreaming.
There's a high-octane proposal out there. I mean, we're trying to push it through the corporate.
I think what's happening here is shadowy league figures are multiplying.
So here's an idea.
Help us out, Shadowy.
I had. We do have, it's funny enough, one of the people that have an office is named Henry Hodgson, who happens to be known as Handsome Hank. And, you know, if you listen to Damashek's show or you've listened to him on our show, British man. So I want everyone that's listening to the podcast right now to hit up at NFL UK Hank on Twitter with the hashtag on to London for the ATN boys, because I really do think Henry is the guy who can get it done for us. So let's go straight to Henry. Everyone at NFL UK Hank, hit him up. Flood his timeline.
Yeah, we can't stress enough. If you've added him on Wednesday on Twitter, it's fine on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Multiple tweets add up, and they're going to mean something in this battle.
And to answer the question, yes, I fancy that.
Yeah, I would fancy it.
Oh, that sounds great.
You know
great.
Who else might be there then?
Nick, that sounds
How far
great.
Away from London will you be?
I'll be a couple hours.
And when do you get there?
August.
So
we'd have a producer.
I've jumped down and meet you there.
That sounds good, Dad.
you could make it down. You don't have to write any midterms about like which free agent, you know, soccer players to pick up.
No, I'm good.
United Kingdom, more than just England, though, Zach, and something you should know when you go out there. You don't want to make a faux pas.
That's true. That's true. People would be very angry with me.
Vincent Petty, at Vincent Petty.
Vinny.
Hey, old Vinny. When Michael Bennett insulted at Dan Hansis, why didn't he respond, "Well, that's not what your mother said last night"? Michael Bennett famously derided my private parts after the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots. Now, the reason I didn't engage, first of all, he's much bigger than me and stronger than me, and he would destroy me. But also, it wouldn't be a good look for me to be going back and forth in what was a classless move by Bennett, talking about my genitals. But I'm not going to be getting in back and forth of them. You just got to back off.
You took the high road. Plus, you had a job to do. You had to write some posts that night.
I had a lot of work to do that night.
Do some podcasts. You were thinking about the team.
Dan is a professional journo.
I thought it showed your true professionalism.
Right, and thank you, guys. And Vincent actually puts hashtag journo fail. But the truth of the matter is I had to be a journo in that spot. But if we were in the schoolyard and Bennett and I were like the same type of – you know, physical type person, I would definitely drop a mom joke at him.
Well, I think that would even be a better situation for you to say nothing.
I don't know.
In a schoolyard.
I don't know if our friend Vinny knows what a journo is.
Because a journo comes with responsibility.
Would never retort that.
It's very true. And may that be a lesson to take out of today's podcast. This from Randall, at Truth Is Told to You. Okay. Have we heard anything on a ruling for Deflategate yet? Or swept under a rug. Yeah, how about that, Greg? What happened to Deflategate, which really ruined all our lives for about a two-week stretch in January?
Well, maybe the NFL has decided it's such a boring, unimportant issue, they're just going to ignore it forever. That's what I hope. It is crazy that it's still going on.
By the way, we're all cool if nothing ever comes of it. I bet Robert Kraft and people in New England would like some type of an apology or retraction, but we would love to never hear about it again.
People in New England would like it, since we were told by almost the entire media that this could really affect the legacies of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and basically keep them out of the Hall of Fame.
That was a dark time in the season. And what was kind of a rough season in a lot of stretches for different reasons, that's right.
It was
right
a final kick in the nuts, because you thought you were out of the woods in terms of, it hadn't been any bad stories for a while. And then that was just
to watch 90% of the people covering the sport completely lose their mind. Yeah.
This from Jeff Slunt at Jeff B. Slunt. Hey, Slunt, get over here. has Greg received more free haircuts at work? I can answer this question, by the way. Greg has gotten now multiple haircuts in the makeup room.
He looked splendiferous the other day. Product in his hair.
It looks good. And I'll just say this. I don't want to talk out of school here. Greg's my boss. But Greg is the only NFL Network talent to be doing this. The people on NFL Now and that have a podcast, us, don't typically get the haircuts. But Greg is maybe a trendsetter. The only one doing it.
The man wanted to cut my hair. It just came up in natural conversation.
He wanted to.
It was an honor for him.
Like, he saw your hair. Look, he's like, get over here right now.
Total McHenry.
It came up naturally. You know, wants to work on his craft.
Now look, Greg's might be more well-coiffed than you are.
It is, because I don't have it.
So that's now we're drilling down to the real story here. Dan doesn't like someone stepping to his throne.
Well, by the way, let's be honest. We're not going to go crazy about
you're talking about right Chuck Daly Jr. here.
we have an HR folder
Danny
on
Rich.
Greg.
Danny Rich.
An HR folder on Greg downstairs that today alone has added 10 or 12
pages. How am I the bad guy in this one? He's walking around like he's God's gift to hair. Well, I mean, hey, we can all challenge for the title.
Just saying, you are someone that's putting yourself on the radar.
We cannot all challenge for the title.
You do not want to get into that battle, Greg. Give me some time. Give me a haircut and a little bit of my Redken product, and the world stops.
Don't step to Danny Rich.
James Cochran at James. So yes, Greg is getting multiple free haircuts from the makeup room. At James Cochran, he lets us know this is a correction. From last week's pod, I think. Yes. When we were talking about the Australian rugby player signed by the Niners.
Jarryd Hayne.
Jarryd Hayne. He was referenced at one point as a enigmatic kangaroo.
Right. And I forgot that – well, go ahead.
The Kangaroos are the name of the Australian Rugby League national team.
Right. Oh, that's not nearly as funny.
No. And actually
– classic Daily Telegraph.
Anticlimactic.
Generally, like the Olympic teams, I think they're called the Kangaroos too. And now I'm probably messing
Well, leave it to the Daily Telegraph to completely confound their international audience.
What have you known
classic
that? You know
journal
a lot
work
about sports,
in the Daily
Tell. Gold standard.
No, I mean, I know that the soccer team's called the Socceroos, which is cool.
Oh, that's
cool.
What I was thinking,
wait, do they
actually
call football soccer there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have Aussie rules football and
interesting.
Technically rugby football.
Have you ever watched a little rugby?
Oh yeah, love
really?
A bit of rugby. I'll be in England for the Rugby World Cup next year. You guys can do that and do the international series.
Wait, sweet.
Just watching it, or you just happen to be there?
I'll be in the stadium with a non-alcoholic beverage and a pennant, waving it around.
We'll have fish and chips and pints.
We need to have a night out, by the way, Gold Center, before you leave.
I'm in.
As a group. All right, this from Zach Smith. This is kind of a Damashekian program question, but I was legitimately interested because I don't know the answers for you guys. At Zach and Maru, what are your favorite breakfast cereals? Now, I know maybe you don't tend to have a lot of breakfast cereal in the morning, but if you were having a breakfast cereal and you could choose one, Mark, we'll start with you.
I don't eat cereal, but growing up, I would eat bowls and bowls of it a day, and Lucky Charms was where I'd go. What you do is you eat the oats first, the oat parts.
Oh, wow.
Then as the little marshmallows get soggier in the milk, you just go down each of the mushrooms, and you save the green leprechauns for last. You eat those up.
Then you drink the milk, which
absolutely.
Is
absolutely, and by then it tastes like a big sugar water.
Mm. But Wes?
As a child, Raisin Bran was my go-to because we weren't allowed to have sugar cereals.
Mm.
But now I'll partake with some Fruity Pebbles.
Wow, interesting. Greg.
Well, we're talking now, right? So, I mean, it sounds boring, but Frosted Mini Wheats. I think that's the champion.
I like
that.
Oh.
That's my number
that's
one.
My
sugar on top
one
of
my
wicker
favorites.
Baskets.
Versatile. You can have it dry if you need to. You could take it out with it. You could, anything. Kids love it.
I know it's very bad for you, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch to me, like so much, this came up on Dave's show, and they sent us like 30 boxes.
Oh, yeah, are you trying
years.
To get
yeah,
more?
Did that impact
yeah.
your decision?
I guess I'm out of it, so yeah, if the Cinnamon Toast Crunch people are listening, I need some more. But love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Also,
See,
Kix. Sneaky Kix.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, I agree. Kix tastes,
mother approved.
Tastes great. And it,
what?
My daughter came home from school the other day talking about the Kix that she was given. She just loved it so much. Tastes great, but you're never full after the Kix.
That,
okay.
That's
like
one of the advantages
tumbleweed.
Shredded Wheat has, is you're full after those big
How
hunks.
Can you get enough milk or water or whatever you throw in your cereal to make it not dry?
I'm with
like
you.
It's like eating the Dust Bowl.
Hmm, interesting.
I took Greg for a Grape Nuts fan with the classic old, you know, the question is not if you're good enough for Grape Nuts. Well, that is the question.
What are you talking about?
I also
grape
like
Nuts, a healthy cereal from the 80s that Greg's never eaten, apparently.
Like Suzanne Summers what used to do. Like the. I like Cinnamon Life, too. Gold standard, yours.
I'm not, this might surprise, I'm not much of a cereal guy, but I do like a bit of Corn Pops in the morning. Have you had Corn Pops?
Okay. I always thought it was interesting that it was in the silver bag.
Yeah,
it was
right?
Different.
I loved that as a kid. That was maybe my number
Captain
one.
Captain Crunch also.
Remember the variety packs when we were a little kid?
Yeah, yes. Those are good.
Like we would only get them if we were going camping.
Well, you had seven brothers. I understand why parents wouldn't want to inject sugar into the equation.
Yeah.
Oh, what a household that must have been. Seven Wesses running around.
Not hyped up on sugar.
Well, that's true. That had to help. All right. Let's do one or two more. At Malcolm McSween, McSween 10, if Wes had to choose one celebrity cornhole partner, who would it be?
Wow.
First one that comes to your mind.
David Simon?
I was just about to say, because you said David Simon would write your memoirs last week.
I find him to be an interesting guy.
Like,
I feel like
I wonder if he'll say it again.
Him. I don't know. No, I don't know.
David Simon sucks at cornhole, by the way.
Who would be
I have some good
authority. I don't really think it should be an athlete.
David Simon's a great answer. You can talk about all
sure.
sorts of things.
Yeah, but you want to win, too.
Terrible at cornhole.
Yeah. I'll give you another know. Guess. I mean, you want to make sure you advance in this tournament, this pro-am.
Maybe Pete Rose?
Oh, he's so old.
What about Akili Smith?
Definitely not Akili Smith.
Lee Johnson.
And finally, this
Mike Brown.
This from Tony Tovar at Cheese Tony, and I'm only bringing it up because this guy, I can't believe this is something we got. What do you say to Packers fans who get upset at Ted Thompson for not being more active in free agency?
My gosh.
Are you kidding me?
I think.
Are you kidding me?
Get a grip.
That always it happens every year though. I know where he's coming from. These Packers fans
Blessed
are crazy.
Blessed souls.
They're always complaining about Thompson and Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy, I can get a little bit, but Thompson. You know, look at the record.
Look, if you're a Packers fan, you've had nothing but Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers since 1992. You don't have a whole lot to complain about. Sit down.
The weather.
Mark got angry. Got aggro.
No, I don't see a whole lot of open doorway to, you know, get aggravated with the Packers at this point.
Hey, it's working. You had to have the biggest collapse possible. That wasn't Ted Thompson's fault not to make the Super Bowl last year.
Touche.
I'm in the news, sweetheart. That's it for Thursday's or Friday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We will be back two shows next week. Don't expect one on Monday. We're going to come back on Tuesday with the whole group. Two shows next week, and then after and may, I don't know. Maybe I'll tease it. I'm not sure. Maybe our AD scale show next week. Maybe could happen. It's a possibility.
Might even sneak in an extra show for a little schedule release special if all the
Ooh.
Things.
Tasty. And then the week after that, of course, is draft week, and that's a fun week because Wes will be in Chicago. We're going to have Connor Orr, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast is going to be here. We're going to play Go Get My Lunch, Jerk Face. We're going to, of course, do our post-draft wrap-up after round one and then another podcast at the end of the draft. So a lot of great stuff coming up. So keep listening. That's it. This is Dan Anzus signing off. For Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and the gold standard behind the glass. Until next week.
Go get my lunch clown car.
Go get my lunch clown car.